Legends 92.9 now brings you Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
Well, the program you're listening to again this week is called Lyrics and Legends. I'm Gary Ware, and I'm the host. I've got Debbie Finsterwald in as my sidekick again this week. Thanks for stopping over with me, Deb.
Oh, you bet.
All right. We got a good one coming up today.
Oh, man. Legend.
If it kind of fits in, we finally found one. So.
Yeah, we did. Finally.
We have.
We've had lots of lyrics, but no legends. Here we go.
Hey, Debbie, before we tell everybody who we have on, let's play one of his songs and see how many people can guess his name.
Banjos are ringing on Saturday night. Folks are all dancing by the campfire lights. Fiddlers are playing a crackerjack of a tune under the wash of a big yellow moon. Boys in the bunkhouse are shined up and clean. Cowgirls cut a rug in their new Wrangler jeans. There's a big Texas moon out tonight. If Charlie Russell was here, he'd paint it just right. Big Texas moon out tonight. The ladies are laughing, watching. Little kids are playing with the neighbors and friends. A cowboy takes a fancy to a blonde, blue-eyed girl. Ain't it pretty how the moonshine highlights her curls? And off in the distance, a coyote sings. The stars shine like diamonds in a high-dollar ring. There's a big Texas moon out tonight. Charlie Russell was here, he'd paint it just right. Big Texas moon out tonight. The old folks are leaving, the campfire's burning low. Little kids are laid out like a pile of dominoes. Cowboy and the blonde blue-eyed girl slipped away out in the barn behind a big stack of hay. The fiddler keeps fiddling and the banjo man sings. A cowboy does a shuffle dance like his feet had wings. There's a big Texas moon out tonight. If Charlie Russell was here, he'd paint it just right. Big Texas moon out tonight. There's a big Texas moon out tonight. If Charlie Russell was here, he'd paint it just right. Big Texas moon out tonight.
We have on the phone with us, my brain tells me that I have to say Mr. Stegall because I get my dad's voice saying,
yes.
You know, I have to be respectful, but I've listened to him so long back to the 70s that my heart says call him Red. So do I have permission to call you Red?
That's what I want you to do. Right.
We have on the phone with us today Red Stegall, who was kind enough to give us a pinch of his time and visit about his music and poetry, and looking forward to it.
We're honored that he took time to talk to us.
Well, thanks. I'm honored that you would ask.
Thanks for joining us, sure. Red.
You bet.
We like to start out by finding out a little bit of the background. I know a lot of people probably know already. My background with you goes to the mid-70s or so, just listening to your music on the radio. But where'd you kind of grow up and get started in the music business?
Well, I grew up in Sanford, out on the Canadian River. And I went from there to school at Canyon. And
But it was West Texas State then, wasn't it?
It was West Texas State College, not university.
College, yes, because it's West Texas A&M University now.
Yep, I wanted to be an Aggie, never dreamed I would, but now I are one.
Now you are.
Did you get a replacement diploma on that?
I'm proud of it.
You should be. It's a great school.
So, yeah. Sanford, Texas, where you were. And did you grow up on a specific ranch there? Or
No. Just a little town. There was 100 of us. So I grew up, that river bottom was my playground.
Now, where is Sanford, Texas?
Sanford is 13 miles up the Canadian River from Borger.
Oh, you mean Sanford Fritch?
Yes. Well, we didn't say it in the same. We didn't say both of those in the same breath.
Right. It was probably illegal to say it.
Yeah,
yes.
You probably would have got a black eye.
Yeah. Maybe.
It was Sanford.
All right.
Well, I know where that is.
I went to high school at Phillips.
Oh, you know, I have a story about that. Phillips Blackhawks.
You better believe it.
One of the winningest coaches in the Panhandle history came from Phillips. Was that back?
Chesty Walker.
There you go. I pulled that out of thin air. But
he was my coach.
Was he?
And
that's
my
amazing.
Hero.
Well, what a guy. Yeah.
This is strange, but I got a Phillips Blackhawks jacket for my as a wedding gift.
Okay, we got to hear this. I got to hear this.
Okay, coaching at Wheeler. Two guys that coached me when I were in high school left Eric, Oklahoma, and went to Phillips. And they found out that I'd gotten married. And so we were at a track meet. And they said, we missed your wedding and we didn't get you a gift. So here's a pocket knife and a Phillips Blackhawks jacket.
All right.
And who were those coaches?
Ed Johnson. And he coaches here. Mike Prescott.
Prescott.
Coaches here in Shamrock, yes. Yeah. So now
I don't know
either
one of those. So
that jacket
was very long after I was gone.
Yes, well, that jacket is a collector's item now.
Good.
So you went from there to West Texas College. And tell us a little bit about your musical influence and kind of what got you headed in that direction.
Oh, I always dreamed of being in show business. Used to on Saturday night, we only had one electrical outlet in the whole house, and it was in the middle of the kitchen. And Daddy found one of those plugs where you can plug a light bulb in it and have a socket on the other side so I could listen to the Grand Ole Opry on Saturday night. And I just always dreamed of doing that. When I was 15, my football career came to a screeching halt because I had polio.
Wow.
And so I used a mandolin and a guitar to regain the strength in my fingers. And it was at that point where I really concentrated on the music. And I went 1 year at Frank Phillips Junior College at Borger, and then I went off to West Texas. And I started playing and writing some music. And then I graduated with a degree in agricultural sciences, and I sold agricultural chemicals for 5 years. And then I went to Hollywood.
That's quite a jump from agricultural products to Hollywood.
Well, I always thought that people would ask me, well, what in the world do you do with that education? And I realized in the last few years that the people I play to and the people I write about are all in agriculture.
That's true.
And so especially with the radio show, when I talk to somebody about agricultural things, I have a pretty good idea about what to ask them.
Yeah, you do. So when you left and went to Hollywood, how did that transition happen? Did you know somebody, or what was your connection that you...
Yes, there was a fellow that I grew up with in Sanford. His name was Don Lanier. And when we started the high school, his daddy got transferred to a plant at Dumas, and he met a fellow named Jimmy Bowen. And he and Bowen and Buddy Knox had a group called Buddy Knox and the Rhythm Orchids in the late 50s.
Wow.
They, for all practical purposes, invented rockabilly music. They had 7 number one records in a row. Well, Buddy got drafted in the Korean War, and so Donnie came back home to Amarillo, and Jimmy moved out to Hollywood. And so later on, he got a job with Reprise Records, and he needed some help. So Donnie went out there to be his union contractor.
Oh.
And so one day they called me and said, we need some help. We need somebody we can depend on. So I hooked it.
Yeah, you call a good West Texas boy.
Yep. And so at one time, Billboard magazine did a profile on people in the music business. And there were 32 of us in key executive positions in the music industry in Hollywood, in the music business alone. So the Panhandle of Texas had a pretty dramatic influence on the music of America for a long time.
That's incredible.
That is awesome to know. Well, and as far as your career getting started, you probably the first Red Steagall song I remember is maybe Lone Star Beer.
Bob Wills Music. Absolutely.
No, that was 75.
75.
I started recording in 69.
Okay, well, I'm a little slow, but I was in high school in the 70s, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah, in 69, we were still in elementary or junior high, so our taste hadn't developed by then.
Well, actually, I recorded Party Dolls and Wine in 68, and it didn't really take off till January of 69.
That's a good one, too.
And so had 26 records in a row in the national charts and been all over the world.
Wow.
Can't beat that deal.
No, you can't.
Well, can we take a minute to listen to Lone Star Beer and Bob Wills Music, and we'll be back in
of
just
course.
A few minutes to visit with you a little more. Got Red Steagall in the studio. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Packed up and left this morning. I don't know where she's gone, and most of all, I don't know why. I only know I've got the blues. I've never been this lonesome. It's enough to make a man lay down and die. Lone Star Beer and Bob Wills Music. When I hear faded love, I feel at home. Bob Wills Music helps to keep that woman off my mind. Bartender, keep that cold beer coming, long as I got money, 'cause I plan on being here till closing time. Lone Star Beer and Bob Wills Music. When I hear faded love, I feel at home.
Hey, we're in the studio visiting with Red Steagall, one of our Saturday morning shows that is probably one of the most popular programs we have. Also got Debbie Finsterwald in the studio, and just listening to Lone Star Beer and Bob Wills Music, finding out kind of where everything started and moving up. I think we're up to about 74 now or so.
Yeah, but something that interested me was you said, Red, that Party Dolls, actually you released that in the late 60s, but it really didn't take off. So do you think the Bob Wills song and that is what piqued people's interest, and is that that song came about, or what you
didn't
re-release?
I didn't release Lone Star Beer and Bob Wills Music till
75. Okay.
And I recorded Party Dolls and Wine in 68.
Okay.
We released it during the Christmas season, which was a horrible thing to do because we didn't get any traction.
Right.
And so we finally got traction with it in January of 69.
Okay.
And it was a top 10 record during that time period.
Great. Well, I must have misunderstood, because I thought it was like it didn't gain popularity till later. But what you meant was after Christmas, when the Christmas rush was over, then that's cool. January of 69. That's
so good. You were in L.A. basically or that California area for 5 years or so?
And then 8 years.
8 years, okay. So what drew you back to, did you come back to the Texas Panhandle, or were you?
No, I moved to Nashville in 73, and I stayed there till 77. I wanted to be home. I wanted to move back, be back in Texas.
All right.
And where do you live now?
So at Christmas in 76, I moved back home.
And so you're still in Texas to this day?
Yes, ma'am. They'll have to burn it down to get me out of here.
That a boy. You live near Fort Worth, is that correct? Or
about 20 miles west of Fort Worth. We got a little ranch.
Awesome.
My office is out there.
It's a good life, isn't it?
I don't want to change it. I'll guarantee you that.
We want to listen to Party Dolls and Wine, and then we're going to come back and visit with Red Steagall. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Lone
hotel rooms and one-night stands. It's party time. You'll find me at the head of the line. Midnight cowboy singing my song to every girl that comes along. My life's made up of party dolls and wine.
Program's Lyrics and Legends. We're visiting with Texas legend Red Steagall, one of the most popular programs we have on our station here, 92.9 FM in Shamrock, Texas. And glad to have you on the phone, Red. And man, we're enjoying learning a little bit more about you, even though I think I listen so much, I think I know, and then I hear stuff and I'm like, I didn't know that.
As they say, you've had a very long and colorful career, and we've missed a thing or two in there somewhere. But we were talking about that you moved to Nashville. Could you tell us a little bit about what was going on in your life? I know songwriting probably was on the list when you moved to Nashville.
By the time I got to Nashville, I had started traveling, and I didn't stay in Nashville very much. I was on the road 250 days a year. And then I bought a bus in 75, and I was really gone. So Nashville, I still have a lot of friends there, and I had a lot of friends when I moved there.
But right.
I just wanted to be in Texas, and I was very unhappily married, and that was another motivation because the one I wanted to live with was in Fort Worth.
Well, then that's so always a good reason.
I folded my tent and moved this way, and it's just a wonderful life, and I'm the happiest camper you'll ever meet.
Well, I know that you've had, you know, we enjoy your show so much that you have now Cowboy Corner, but also I know that you have had a lot of appearances on television. I know that you have dabbled in the movies, and you know, I mean, your career spans lots of things, including from being host and announcer in the NFR and many other things like that. So you have such a great voice. I mean, not just a singing voice, but a speaking voice. And so is that how those things came about, is just through your you know, when you got involved with the NFR and things like that and RFD TV?
Well, I don't know, been a complex movement and taking advantage of opportunities that I thought would move the storyline forward.
Right.
And I'm really proud of our radio show. We've been on the air 24 years with that show, and we're in our 10th show on our 10th year with RFB TV. We had 4 years of In the Bunkhouse, which is a variety, cowboy variety show.
Right.
And now then, this is our sixth year with Somewhere West of Wall Street.
Hey, in our little neck of the woods, on your program you do, you interviewed a colorful guy named Sam Britt. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, Lord, yes. I thank the world of Sam. He's one of my heroes.
We've been fortunate enough to know some of the Brits from Wheeler County that he's got got ties with. And so I think it's that aspect that you're always interviewing these guys around here that people either know or they feel like they know because they've either been in the rodeo business or ranching, raising horses on the 4.6s or whatever. And I think that's what really has struck a chord with a lot of our audience is people can relate to.
I like to do shows with people who have a story about the way of life that we love and a part of the world that we understand. And I'd like to think that those stories will live on and that we do them in the right manner that 50 years from now, we may be the only references to how we lived and the things we really cared about.
That's true.
You know, one of the other things that I think is really neat about your program specifically is when you're visiting with these gentlemen that either are in the ranching business or whatever aspect it is with agriculture, it's the care for the land that comes across that each one of these guys have. That, you know, a lot of times when you listen to national media, you think that farmers and ranchers are just a bunch of people that are taking advantage nature or whatever, but when we listen to your program, we learn that, you know, these guys are really stewards and they've got the utmost interest in seeing that land be passed down from generation to generation, just like the Britt Ranch here in Wheeler County.
Right.
Well, they're the best conservationists and best environmentalists on the planet are the people who live with the land. And if they don't take care of it, it doesn't take care of them. So they're going to take care of nature.
That's right. Can you think of a song, Red, that you have that when you think about the land and all of that, a song that's near and dear to you that you've done that kind of explains or is a part of that?
Well, do you have some cowboy music?
We have access to
anything.
Yeah, we've got about 11 of your songs that we play on the air. One of those that I like is I think the title of it's All She Wants to Talk About Is Texas, but that's but we have access to the it's pretty much all of it, I think. So
yeah,
I have
a poem called Born to This Land that I'm awfully proud of.
That's the one I was looking at. I wondered if it says that it came out in 1993, Born to This Land.
Yes, I'm really proud of that poem.
All right, well, let's take a listen to that. We're visiting with Red Stegall. We're going to listen to this poem, and the name of it is Debbie called
Born
to This Land. Mm-hmm. So we'll listen to this, and we'll be back in just a few minutes and visit with Red Stegall.
I've kicked up the hidden mesquite roots and rocks from the place where I spread out my bed. And I'm laying here looking at a sky full of stars with my hands folded up neath my head. Tonight there's a terrible pain in my heart. Like a knife, it cuts jagged and deep. This evening, the windmiller brought me the word that my granddaddy died in his sleep. So I saddled my gray horse and rode out to a hill where, when I was a youngster of 9, my grandfather said to me, "Son, this is ours. It's yours, your daddy's, and mine." He said my granddaddy settled here after the war. That new tank's where his house used to be. He wanted to cowboy and live in the West, come to Texas from East Tennessee. The longhorn were wild as a deer in them breaks. With a long rope he caught him a few, and with the money he made from trailing them north, he proved up this homestead for you. When the railroad got closer, they built the first fence where the river runs through the east side. Then, when I was a button, they built these corrals. That winter, my granddaddy died. He said my father took over, bought up more range with purebreds, he improved our stock, and windmills looked like they grew out of the ground. Then the land got as hard as a rock. And during that dust bowl, we barely hung on. The wind tried to blow us away, but it seemed that the Lord took a liking to us. He kept turning up ways we could stay. As my father grew older, he gave me more rain. We'd paid for most all of this land, and by the time he went on, I was running more cows, and your daddy was my right-hand man. Well, his eyes got real cloudy. He took off in a trot, and I watched as he rode out of sight. And though I was a child, I knew I was special. And I'm feeling that same way tonight. Not many years later, my daddy was killed on a ship in the South China Sea. For 20-odd years now, we've made this ranch work. Two cowboys, my granddad and me. And now that he's gone, things are certain to change. I reckon that's how it should be, but 5 generations have called this ranch home. And I promise it won't end with me. 'Cause I've got a little one home in a crib. When he's old enough that he'll understand, from the top of that hill, I'll show him his ranch. 'Cause like me, he was born to this land.
Red Steagall and Born to This Land. What a great poem about our country and family. Before we move on, let's hear another poem by Red. Is that okay?
Oh, yes.
Here's one called My Pawpaw by Red Steagall.
Called my granddad Pawpaw, and I loved him more than life. I called my granddad Pawpaw, and I loved him more than life. I tried to copy everything he did. Of course, I was always underfoot and standing in the gate, but if I made him mad, he kept it hid. When I was 2, he bought me my own saddle and a horse. The seat of his old pickup was my bed. I learned to walk the way he walked, and cuss a little bit. I hung on every word my pawpaw said. And pawpaw used to brag on me to all the other guys, said I would be a champion someday. He taught me how to ride a bronc when I was just a kid. I wasn't good enough to make it pay. So when my grandson came along, I recognized the chance to relive memories of my childhood days. My daughter said that Pawpaw wasn't very dignified, but I had him call me Pawpaw anyways. I taught him how to throw a rope, and he roped everything that came in his imaginary pen. I bought him his own saddle and a little spotted horse. He and that horse became the best of friends. I guess I overdid it, 'cause he got us both in Dutch when he caught Grandma's rooster in his loop. The rooster didn't make it, and his grandma threw a fit. He said the old bird's tough, he'll make good soup. Ah, we've dodged a bullet once or twice, and we've come out okay, though we haven't gotten by with everything. Like early last September, we was branding April calves, the ones too small to brand in early spring. I was way across the branding pen, not paying him no mind, and I caught him in the corner of my eye. And he was in the pen a foot and building him a loop. I chuckled to myself, this boy's got try. Well, much to my surprise and his, he caught a heifer calf that must have weighed at least 400 pounds. She jerked that youngster off his feet before I could blink an eye, and she quit the herd and took to higher ground. And she drug him through the fresh manure and up against the fence. His shirt was torn to tatters in the chase. His pants was hanging off his hips, and his boots was full of dirt. But bless his heart, his hat was still in place. Well, I double-hocked the heifer, and the ground crew stretched her out. The boy escaped, but Lord, I don't know how. I swear I nearly lost it when he said, "Shake out your loop and let's go get ourselves another cow." When we were in the barn last night, he asked if he could rope. I laughed it off and said, "I guess you can." I never dreamed a 4-year-old would have that kind of nerve. I'm sure that heifer didn't understand. I said, "Let's ride down to the tank and wash your face and hands." Then what he said just thrilled me through and through. "But you don't wash your face and hands till you get in at night. I want to be a cowboy just like you." The mighty hero had returned victorious from the war. The hand he held was flush and full of spades. With cow manure on remnants of what used to be a shirt, he expected nothing less than accolades. But unless you've fought the battle, and unless you've won the war, the taste of victory don't seem quite so sweet. His mama saw destruction in a bruised and battered boy. To her, his hard-won victory spelled defeat. I revel in his glory as he told his mom the tale. He said, "That heifer run right in my noose. I worked her round the pen till Pawpaw caught her by the heels. We burned her hide before we cut her loose. And she screamed, "Why did you do that?" as she grabbed him by the arm. I raised that girl, and boy, can she get mean. Before I let him in too deep, I'll throw the kid a line. Right now, it's best that I ain't heard or seen. We're talking about a cyclone and a giant hissy fit if she reacted like I thought she would. But I popped the buttons off my shirt when he looked up and said, "I did it 'cause my pawpaw said I could."
The program you listen to is Lyrics and Legends. Got Mr. Red Steagall on the phone. Also have Debbie Finsterwald in the studio with us. We're just learning a lot of information, Deb.
We are.
And hearing some great stuff.
Well, you know, you've been, you were saying, you know, that you have been involved in this for a long time. And I know that you've crossed paths with a lot of people that maybe you've given a leg up or you knew somebody. And I hear that one of those people is Reba McEntire. Can you tell us a little bit about how you were associated with her?
Well, I had gone to the National Finals Rodeo in 74, and I'd been out of rodeo for a long time, and I really wanted to get back in it as an entertainer. I went to the finals and heard her sing the national anthem, and we had a little party in Mr. Justin's suite. He always rented his suite for it so we could gather up. I was up there picking and singing. Her mother had stopped me in the hall and asked if she could bring her little girl up to sing with me. And so I said, "Sure, I wasn't going to say no. I'm a visitor." And so she set her down beside me, and she started singing with harmony with me, and then I picked a couple of tunes, and she sang them, just blew me away. And
right.
And Glenn Sutton and I had just ridden the caboose on a freight train, Rock Island freight train from Amarillo to Memphis, and trying to write songs, but the rhythm and the sound kept us awake, kept us going to sleep. So the only song we wrote was one called "I'm Not Your Kind of Girl," and I needed to demo that. So I had Jackie bring Reba to Nashville in January of 75. We cut that demo, and by the fall we had gotten her a record deal.
Awesome.
And it's just grown from there. I talked to her this afternoon.
Fabulous.
And
well, I know that she believes that you were a big part of her her career and giving her a chance. And you know, a lot of times that's how artists feel, that they just needed somebody to give them a chance.
No,
that's great.
We all need a leg up from time to time.
This is true. Very true.
She's my special friend.
Yeah, that's a great talent.
And, thank you.
There's one of your songs we feature on our station that I like. Jim's waving at me to get back in front of the microphone. I need to sit down probably. So, a song called "All I Had to Talk About Was Texas." Is that one you wrote, or can you give us a little background on it?
No, Jerry Allison and Sonny Curtis wrote that song, and they were both Buddy Holly Band, and have been good friends of mine for way over 50 years. And they wrote that song, and I was getting ready to go into the studio with Bowen, and we cut it.
All right. Hey, this may hit the floor, get cut out. Did you know a keyboard player named Glenn Hardin? He played with them.
I do, but...
Well, he was with Elvis.
I know that name.
He was with Elvis and played keyboards with several different people. The reason I ask that question is he was born between Shamrock and Wellington and grew up down at Hollis, and I was just kind of reaching for a nugget there, but that...
Glenn D, did you say? Glenn D. Hardin?
Glenn D. Hardin, yeah.
Yes, I know Glenn D. We used to play a lot of things together when I lived in Hollywood.
Oh, okay,
before
yeah.
I went on the road.
I was just curious if there might be a connection there, because I thought it wouldn't be. We interviewed Glenn a couple of months back on here when we found out that he was born on the North Fork of the Red River between Shamrock and Wellington and grew up over in Hollis. So it's just amazing some of the connections you get back to this area that ended up in California and then Nashville or whatever. So I kind of got off track. We were talking about this song, and then
Gary got off track.
When I heard who had written the song, I was like, wait a minute. There's got to be a connection there. So.
Intro the song,
right,
dear.
Listen to "All She Ever Talks About Is Texas," and we'll be back in just a few minutes to visit with Red Steagall.
All I knew to talk about was Texas. I guess she thought my world was pretty small. She's been all the way to Miami. She's seen the Smoky Mountains in the fall. I took her to a county fair in Beaumont, the best I had to offer at the time. I
my mind. And all I did was do my best to make her feel at home, then ask her when she'd hit the road again. She looked at me and smiled and told me this is more like heaven than any place on earth I've ever been. All she ever talks about is Texas. You'd think she'd never been around at all. She's been all the way from Seattle to Miami. She's seen the Smoky Mountains in the fall. Place on earth I've ever been. Now all she ever talks about is Texas. You'd think she'd never been around at all. She's been all the way from Seattle to Miami. She's seen the Smoky Mountains in the fall. It's all she ever talks about is Texas.
The program you're listening to is Lyrics and Legends on 92.9 FM, Shamrock, Texas. Got Red Steagall on the phone. This is just too much fun.
It is.
Getting to hear all this information. And Debbie is just all over this song here. She wants to visit with Red about
it. Well, it was one of my dad's favorites, Truck Driving Man. Give us a little story on that if you can.
Well, Terry Fell wrote that song a long, long time ago, and either Buck Owens or Porter Wagoner recorded it the first time, and then I had a top 10 record with it in 73.
In 73. George Hamilton the Fourth, according to our...
Okay, yeah.
In 65. Right. And then what year did you have? That is 73. Awesome.
73, okay.
But yeah. Here's the deal. You know, you've done so many things in your career, I thought maybe you threw Truck Driving in there, but you said no truck driving?
Nope.
Just a good song.
Nope. I drive my pickup truck more than anything.
So I think we talked over you a little bit while we were trying to figure that out, but you said you guys use that to close.
We use that to close every dance.
Well, that ought to get everybody up out of there.
Yep.
That's right.
It works.
All right, let's listen to it.
All right, we're
going
to take a minute and listen to Truck Driving Man, Red Steagall. We'll be back in just a few minutes on Lyrics and Legends.
Texas, a little place called Hamburger Dan's. I stuck me a quarter in the jukebox. I played the song The Truck Driving Man. And the waitress, she brought me some coffee. I thanked her and I called her back again. I said that old song sure does fit me, 'cause darling, I'm a truck driving man.
Pour me another cup of coffee, 'cause it is the best in the land. And put another quarter in the jukebox and play that song, The Truck Driving Man.
All now, Johnny.
Board my old semi, then like a flash I was gone. Got them old truck wheels a rolling and love them on my way to San Antonio.
Pour me another cup of coffee, 'cause it is the best in the land. And put another quarter in the jukebox and play the song, The Truck Driving Man.
Now here's Sonny.
Box,
and play the song the truck driving man, and play the song the truck driving man.
All right, the program's Lyrics and Legends, 92.9 FM, Visiting with Red Steagall. Got Debbie Fensterwald in the studio with us. Debbie, you had you're visiting a little bit about your Eric, Oklahoma hometown.
Right. Well, you know, anytime you talk about Eric, we always want to bring up Roger Miller. He's one of our favorite guys from Eric, Oklahoma. And Red, I just wondered if you had any stories or any ties or connections. I know that you were big in the music industry at the same time that he was, and both of you from small parts of the world. And what do you know about Roger?
Oh, I knew Roger very well. We were in Hollywood at the same time. I met him when we were just youngsters in Amarillo, and he was in the fire department. And then in Hollywood, he and Jimmy Bowen and Lee Hazelwood all lived together at one time, right after I got out there.
Wow.
And we spent a lot of time together. And then when he put his band together, he hired a couple of guys that were living in the same apartment building I was that we did demos with, and went out on the road. And I just always really admired Roger. And he was a genius.
Yeah, he was. He was from all aspects of his writing to, you know, even when he went into Broadway and all of those things, it's just amazing how broad he was. But you know what? You're the same way. You've done everything from songwriting to we know that you've written books and that you're an award-winning author. And, you know, that I see so many similarities in these guys between, you know, you come from a little spot in the road and yet you have all of these far-reaching talents. So, you know, just think that you and Roger have a lot in common.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very flattering.
Well, it's true.
I love the story that a disc jockey one time asked Roger, said, with all this fame and publicity, and I know you're making a lot of money, what have you done good for your folks? And he said, a lot. I sent him off on a trip to Europe and I paved the farm while they were gone. He had an unbelievable mind.
Oh man, that is just too funny.
Oh yeah, there's no reason why. I can't believe he didn't write a song about that.
Over in Eric was another real important friend of mine. His name was Erlon Shirley.
Erlon Shirley was one of my dear friends too, my family's friends. Did you have any Erlon Shirley Spurs?
No, I got two pair of them.
Well,
one of them's in the safe, and I wear the other one every day.
We ran into, I think it was his daughter. We were over there doing a remote for a store over there, and she came in and had been listening to the station, and yeah, told us part of that story. So
right. Better name was Pam Jefferson.
Might have been.
So. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, Erlon, he was a talented guy too, wasn't he?
Anyway, we had his son who was a pretty talented musician on the station.
He's a great songwriter.
Yeah, Joe.
So, anyway.
Well, Walter Merrick was probably one of the greatest horsemen that ever walked the face of this earth. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the song The Fiddle Man.
Well, we were playing a place called The Jungle Room in Grand Junction, Colorado. And we didn't have a lot of people in there. And a fellow walked in the front door. He had a guitar in a toe sack. And he came up and said, can I sit in a couple of tunes? And we said, sure. Not enough people in here to make any difference. So he jumped up there and he played that guitar like it was a violin or a harp. I mean, he was unbelievable. In a minute, he said, well, thank you. And put his guitar in that toe sack and walked out the front door. And one of the guys walked up the front door and he got in a 16-wheeler and took off down the road. Well, I wrote that song that night about a fiddler because we could get more action in with fiddles than we could with a guitar.
Wow.
Did you ever know who he was?
I have no earthly idea who he was.
Wow.
It was just an unbelievable night.
And what was the name of that? In the Jungle
Room. The Jungle Room.
That's cool.
The Jungle Room. Grand Junction, Colorado.
Grand Junction, Colorado.
Oh,
that was a famous honky-tonk.
Oh, the Jungle Room. That doesn't sound like a honky-tonk, but, you know.
Well, it sounds like Elvis's.
In Texas, what we call a skull orchard. And if you get to the door and they ask you if you got a knife or a gun, and if you don't have one, they'll loan you one. That's the kind of place it was.
That's a good one.
Did they have chicken wire up in front of the stage or anything?
No, but I remember on the other side of the river, they used to have some of those clubs.
Yeah, I bet they did.
Well, we're going to take a minute, Debbie, and we're going to listen to The Fiddle Man. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
in a big old double trailer diesel rig. And just as luck would have it, the driver let him down in front of this old honky where I picked. He had a worn out fiddle case he carried like a child. Tucked beneath his arms he walked in, strolled up to the bandstand and laid a dollar down. Then wondered if we'd mind if he set in. While he tuned up with guitar, boys all turned around and looked at me. That was the way that he was dressed and looked. Everybody thought that he was some old bum that walked in off the street. Then when he drew that bow across them strings and made him cry, we knew he weren't no ordinary man. Then when he hit a breakdown by himself to warm it up, we knew he had a fiddler in our band. He played a good old country breakdown like you've never heard a breakdown played before. He made you feel like you were part of faded love and cheating heart and topped it off with Rose of San Antonio. Then he played a verse of Uncle Pim, the crowd would roar and he'd play again. They bought him beer, he couldn't drink no more. We thought he'd wear his fingers off, cause the only time he'd ever stop was long enough to rouse enough to boast. And he'd play. That old fiddle up and caught himself a ride on down the road. And he'd play.
All right. Well, that song's called The Fiddle Man. The program's Lyrics and Legends. We're visiting with Red Steagall. This is just too much fun. And got Debbie Finsterwald in with me. Debbie, I know you're going somewhere. You got that look on your face. Huh?
Well, there's we could talk endlessly about the things that Red has done and the honors that he's had and just this unbelievable career that has spanned across all these years, and from music to books to poetry to movies to television. Red, we're just, you know, it's amazing the things that you've done. But one of the things that just caught my eye and makes me just, I know how proud you are to be a Texan, and as we are, that you are the official cowboy poet of Texas. And I'd really like to know how that came about. And how do you get to be the official cowboy poet of Texas?
Well, I was selected by the state legislature.
That is awesome. Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Well, I really don't know.
They give you a call and say, you know.
The Speaker of the House called me one morning, Gib Lewis, and said, the Senate and the House just selected you as the official cowboy poet of Texas.
Oh, my gosh.
So I went down to the state capitol a couple of days later, and they presented me a proclamation from the House and the Senate.
Oh, wow.
And then in 2006, I was selected as a poet laureate of Texas.
Wow. Those are some incredible honors. And I know that, you know, you also have your book, Born to This Land.
Uh-huh.
I know that it was named Book of the Year, received the Will Rogers Award. I mean, you're so modest about telling us all these wonderful things that you've had in your life. And I just am amazed at how you can see through your writing and your passion for Texas and stuff that these are heartfelt. And I'm sorry, but when the Senate and the legislature calls and says, we want to make you the official cowboy poet of Texas, they know and feel the spirit and love you have for Texas. So
I'm still waiting on that call to be the car dealer of the used car salesman of the state of Texas.
Yeah.
It's coming, I know. Yeah. Maybe you've been chomping at the bit to get to this duet album, and we're going to run out of time here if we don't get on with this.
So in 2007, you did a duet album with a lot of really talented singers. And Would you share a little bit with how that came about?
Oh, there was a young man who had put together a record company called Wildcatter Records with a group of people up in Graham. And he wanted to do a Western Swing album. And he said, why don't we redo some of those old Western Swing and Honky Tonk songs that you had? And I said, well, why don't we get some of my buddies to sing with me? And
awesome.
So that's what we did.
That's wonderful. And I know we talked about earlier that Reba McEntire is one of your dear friends, and you helped give her a leg up and starting her career. And you guys have a duet on the album. You think we could play the Red and Reba duet, guys?
I think if we don't, we'll be in big trouble.
I think so, too. Do you remember what the song is, Red, so we can...
Here we go again.
Here we go again. Oh, great.
All right. We're going to take a minute and listen to Red Steigall and Reba McEntire. Here we go again.
We'll be
right back.
Back in town again, and I'll take her back again one more time. Here we go again, the phone will ring again, and I'll be her fool again one more time. Oh, I've been there before. Lord knows I'll try it again. But any fool knows there's no way to win. Here we go again. She'll break my heart again, and I'll play the part again one more time.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends. We're visiting in on the phone with Red Steigall. Got Debbie Finsterwall. Man, Red, we just appreciate you taking time. I know you're a busy guy, and we're a little bitty station up in the Texas Panhandle, but it just means a ton for us to get to visit with you and see you to take time to share a little bit of the history of your music and your influences and some of the things that have taken place in your life. Tell us, if somebody wants to get your CDs or your books or whatever, where's the best place for them to get that material and see maybe if you've got events coming up or whatever?
RedSteigall.com.
That's easy right there.
Man, it is. Do you have a Facebook page?
Oh, I think so. I'm pretty sure we do. Gail handles that.
Somebody has
Debbie. He's got a Debbie that takes care of stuff. He does.
So. Oh, man. That's
probably... Yeah, she lined this interview. She was very...
That's the thing about this age that we live in, is that there's all these things where redsteagall.com, so you can go on there, and I'm sure it'll show you where to go to get everything. I'm gonna tell you that I know, as a fan of yours, that just going to redsteagall.com is not going to tell the whole story, and we appreciate so much the chance to get to visit with a legend like you and to be able to talk about your career and to just genuinely know what a great guy you are. And we just appreciate you taking the time to speak to us tonight.
Well, I appreciate you calling me and letting me visit with you. You live in the part of the world that I dearly love.
And
I bet hopefully I got a friend or two left out there. Luke.
I bet you do.
One event you just finished up was your cowboy gathering in Fort Worth, and that's getting to be a big deal. And
that was our 27th year.
27th year, wow. Is that always the last week in October?
It's the fourth weekend in October.
The fourth
weekend. Not always the last.
Well, Rad, I know you're a busy guy. I know it means a lot for us to be able to visit with you. Like I said earlier, your program on this station is one of our most popular programs. We air it Saturday and Sunday because it's twice as nice to run it twice.
That's right.
You bet. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, so they'll get a double dose of you this.
They will. It comes on right before Lyrics and Legends.
Coming up in a couple of weeks. And if you get through Shamrock, Texas, and need a place to duck in, you can always stop in at Legends 92.9 on Main Street in Shamrock, Texas.
Well, all right.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Y'all be careful.
Right. You too. Bye-bye.
Well, the program's Lyrics and Legends. We just finished a great interview with a true Texas legend.
And hero.
Rad Steagall, who just a ton of history there, Debbie.
Whew, we couldn't even scratch the surface of what he's done.
So the program's an hour long, and we're like...
Easily 2 hours of stuff we could have talked about, yeah. Because he's just, you know, he's done so many things, and, I mean, he's produced movies. He didn't even talk about his movies and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he did a movie called... Big Bad John, remember that song?
Right, yeah.
It starred Jimmy Dean from Plainview, Texas.
He also was big in the...
It was on Hee Haw 100 times. I mean, just...
I always call it the Cowboy Hall of Fame in Oklahoma City. I'm not sure that's...
That's the official... That's how it used to be. I think it's got a... It has a different official name, but we all know it as the Cowboy Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's been one of the main drivers in some of the pro rodeo...
Absolutely.
Events,
yeah, NFR. He's been involved in college rodeo. He's been involved. He was on ESPN. He's done so many things that have to do with any part of the cowboy lifestyle, from the ranching to rodeos to, you know, the lifestyle, the living off the land. All of those things, and just amazing.
So what was really cool is we called him on the phone. They're like, we say, can we interview you on the radio? And they're like, sure. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that all it took? That's amazing. Yeah.
Here's your cell phone number. And call him up while he's eating at the restaurant.
Right. You can just tell that did he make it clear how much he loves this lifestyle in Texas? I mean, he did. You know, couldn't wait to get back to Texas. Well, I know a lot of people that have gone to California and Hollywood and couldn't wait to get out of there, but that's beside the point. I mean, it's like he wanted to come back to Texas. Went to Nashville, right. Didn't hang out there very long, couldn't wait to get back to Texas. So, right. Man, what a treasure.
Well, thanks for coming over.
Thanks for letting me come.
We're
going
to do this again.
Great.
I just have to figure out who my next victim is.
I know. We'll try to drag him in.
We got a couple
streets.
In the sights. We just can't get them locked in.
So yeah, that's true.
We'll get that done. Maybe even get the mason jars on.
Oh, my gosh. That would be really desperate and grasping and reaching. So, but thanks for letting me come. And, man, get to talk to some of these heroes of mine. This is awesome.
All right.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time, here on Legends 92.9.